So Helen Caldicott is one of the world's most articulate and passionate advocates of citizen action to remedy the nuclear and environmental crises. She is a doctor of pediatrics and has devoted the last 42 years to educating the public about the medical hazards of the nuclear age and the necessary changes in human behavior to stop environmental destruction. Dr. Caldicott has received many prizes and awards for her work, including the Lannan Foundation's Prize for Cultural Freedom in 2003 and 21 honorary doctoral degrees. She was personally nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize by Linus Pauling, himself a Nobel laureate. The Smithsonian named Dr. Caldicott is one of the most influential women of the 20th century. She has written for numerous publications and has authored 7 books, the most recent of which is entitled Crisis Without End: The Medical and Ecological Consequences of the Fukushima Nuclear Disaster. Please give a hand for Dr. Caldicott.
Thank you very much. Well, we've heard a little bit of history of the nuclear age, and I won't go through it all, but it did start with Hiroshima and Nagasaki. A little boy in Hiroshima was reaching up to catch a red dragonfly in his hand against the blue of the sky, and there was a blinding flash, and he disappeared. His shadow was on the pavement, and that is in the Hiroshima Museum. That was the first time that man had developed a technique to vaporize his fellow human beings. People were watching the plane above and saw 2 parachutes open, and they thought that the pilots were escaping, and then there was a blinding flash. About 120,000 people were killed in Hiroshima, and people evacuated from Hiroshima who survived and went to the only Christian center in Japan, which was Nagasaki, 3 days later to receive the second bomb. The Japanese say, "We understand the first, well, some do, but why the second?" The Atomic Bomb Casualty Commission in America studied the Hiroshima and Nagasaki victims. They never compensated them. They never treated them. They just studied them to see what radiation did to human beings, similarly to the way they've treated the Marshall Islands. No medical treatment, no insurance, just study them. Guinea pigs. So Japan was pretty allergic to nuclear, all things nuclear after that. There was a psychologist in the Pentagon who said in the 50s that if America developed the peaceful atom, then people would get over their anaphylactic reaction to nuclear weapons. And that's partly why the peaceful atom was developed. And that's why it was introduced by General Electric and others into Japan, so they would get over their vast abhorrence of anything nuclear. I knew the 3 GE engineers who designed the reactors in Fukushima, Mark 1 GE reactors. It's GE who should be being sued, not TEPCO, GE. And those 3 wonderful men resigned in 1975, saying that these reactors were very dangerous. They testified before Congress, but of course that made no difference. It was said at the time that the chance of a meltdown was being hit by lightning in a parking lot. Since then, we've had 3 Mile Island, which had a partial meltdown 13 miles from Hershey's Chocolates, where the cows graze in the richest dairy area of the country. The milk was so radioactive and full of radioactive iodine that they powdered the milk for 100 days until the radioactive iodine decayed, then they used it for the chocolates. But many other isotopes escaped with lives that last for hundreds to thousands of years. We don't know the ground levels of radiation around Hiroshima. Hershey's chocolates, sorry about that. So don't eat Hershey's chocolates. Then we got Chernobyl. Now, all of these accidents occurred as a result of human failure. And here's Chernobyl here. This is the map of Europe. And the very dark red areas are where people cannot live, exclusion zones. And you'll see that that they actually went up to Finland, Sweden, Norway. The very dark red areas are exclusion. These are not so dark. But the fallout occurred all over Europe. So there was one stupid man who, in the middle of the night, who is a specialist in hydroelectricity, not nuclear, did a crazy experiment, and there was a huge bang. And he said to his two underlings, go out and see what's happened. So they went out and they came back and they said, it's gone. He said, what's gone? They said, the reactor's gone. He said, don't be ridiculous. Go out and have another look. When the explosion occurred, the control room filled up with white dust. All of those men died soon after of acute radiation illness. What I'm not showing you here is Turkey, which got a hell of a fallout. Their tea was so radioactive and they were so angry with Russia that they picked all the radioactive tea and sent it back to Russia so they could drink radioactive tea. Do not eat any apricots from Turkey, hazelnuts and the like. Turkey is very radioactive. There are wild boars running around Germany right now, so radioactive they almost glow in the dark. There are lambs being born in farms in the United Kingdom, so full of cesium-137 that they can't be sold on the market. Europe will remain radioactive for hundreds up to thousands of years. And a study done by the New York Academy of Sciences shows that by now over 1 million people have died as a result of Chernobyl. From cancer, leukemia, premature aging in children, sudden heart attacks, diabetes. There's a variety of illnesses, and I would advise you to read that report from the New York Academy of Sciences, one of the most startling medical documents that I've ever read. It's been discredited by some pro-nuclear people in the academy because it wasn't properly peer-reviewed. It's the only document where they translated 5,000 papers written in Slavic into English, where they actually counted the patients, did the studies, did the epidemiology, and the pro-nuclear people don't like it. It's an absolutely outstandingly terrifying report. Then we got Fukushima. At the time of the earthquake, which was a 9 on the Richter scale, there were 6 reactors in Fukushima Daiichi. 3 were online and 3 were not. 1 had just had its fuel removed to a cooling pool at the top of standing on the roof of the reactor 100 feet above the ground, but 3 were operating. So because they lost the external power supply to operate the pumps, because each reactor needs 1 million gallons a minute to keep it cool of circulating water, and that water comes out relatively radioactive, the pumps failed, and so they had diesel generators, but they were located underneath the reactors, and as the tsunami came in, the diesel generators were drowned. So desperate were the workers that they rushed out to get batteries from their cars to try and mobilise the pumps, but they didn't work. Within hours, units 1, 2 and 3 started to melt down. Each 100 tonnes of incredibly hot, incredibly radioactive uranium full of fission products. And within a few days, there had been a total meltdown in 3. They'd melted their way through 6 inches of steel, dropped onto the containment floor made of concrete, and some people think they've gone and melted their way into the earth. The reactors were built in front of a mountain range, and huge amounts of water fall down every year beneath the reactors to the sea. That was okay when they were intact, but now the water comes down from the mountains, mixes with the molten cores, picking up plutonium, americium, neptunium, strontium, cesium, carbon-14, tritium, and flows out to the Pacific. Every day since the accident 3.5 years ago, 300 to 400 tons of water per day, very radioactive, has poured into the Pacific. There is no way for us to stop the water pouring over the reactor cores. There is no way ever to find the reactor cores because they're so radioactive that men cannot, or women can't, go near them, or they'll die within a few hours with their hair falling out, vomiting and bleeding to death. Even when they send robots in, the robots fry. So this accident is ongoing, hence the name of the book, which is out there, called Crisis Without End. The Pacific Ocean is becoming more and more radioactive. Yeah, it's a huge body of water. But the solution to pollution by dilution is fallacious when it comes to radiation, because the radioactive elements reconcentrate back in the food chain by orders of magnitude. Algae, crustaceans, little fish, big fish, tuna they're catching on the west coast now of this country containing cesium from Fukushima. And so we stand at the apex of the food chain. You can't taste, smell, or see radiation. Do not buy ever any Japanese food again. No miso, no seaweed, no fish, no rice. They're encouraging farmers to grow their food now in Fukushima Prefecture, and they're selling it in London. They're canning the most radioactive food and selling it to the developing world. Do not eat any Japanese food. Once you've eaten radioactive elements, it takes up to 2 to 80 years to develop your cancer. The cancer doesn't wear a little flag denoting its origin. And then we try and treat you and nearly kill you as we try and kill the cancer. More Fukushima. This is the nuclear fallout released by the Australian Radiation Service. And so you can see Japan within 3 days, 6 days, and here it is hitting Seattle. The ambient levels of radiation in Seattle went up 40,000 times above normal within the first week. The wind blew across the Pacific for the first 2 days, then changed and blew across Japan. People fled into the areas of the highest radiation fallout because the government didn't warn them where it was going. Well, this shows more. On the 18th, the accident was the 11th of March, 18th of March, 21st of March, and here it's surrounding the whole of the Northern Hemisphere. We don't get it in the south because the two air masses don't mix at the equator. So here the radiation moved up here. The Americans were monitoring it, the Japanese were monitoring it, but the Japanese government didn't tell them where it was going because they didn't want to create panic. So they fled into the highest radiation zones. Thousands and thousands of people, including children who are 10 to 20 times more sensitive to radiation than adults, fetuses thousands of times more so. We'll pass over this. These are airborne emissions, but there are many more, from a meltdown. Uranium, which has a half-life of 4.5 billion years, very toxic. They're using it in Iraq, and they have been in a nuclear war, really, with depleted uranium. Plutonium, the most carcinogenic substance we know, a millionth of a gram will cause you cancer. Half-life 24,400 years, lasts for half a million years. That's what you make hydrogen bombs from. Produces liver, lung and bone cancer. Cesium-137 lasts for 600 years and produces cancers in muscle, brain, like. Strontium-90, like calcium, lasts for 600 years and goes to bone, causing bone cancer and leukemia. Cobalt-60, terribly dangerous, and radioactive iodine causing thyroid cancer. I've just gone through those. This is Tokyo soon after the accident, and the azaleas are dying in the middle of summer from fallout. There are parts of Tokyo that are as radioactive as the exclusion zones around Chernobyl. And this is a ginkgo with spots on it. These are the radioactive particles that landed on the ginkgo and caused the ginkgo to die. This is soil testing in the Tokyo metropolitan area. Some parts of Tokyo are extraordinarily radioactive. These are the deformities we saw after Chernobyl. There are homes full of the most deformed children. These are mentally retarded children. This is Chernobyl. This guy has elephantiasis. She's got an absent eye. But homes full of the most deformed children we've ever seen in the history of pediatrics, like thalidomide babies who are born with no arms, no legs, and the like. There's a strong history of conjoined twins too, Siamese twins. This is the book from the National Academy of Sciences, and you see the growth wings of the trees before Chernobyl and after. They hardly grew. This is what Arjun Makajani, because of David Freeman, a study I commissioned called Carbon-Free, Nuclear-Free. America could be carbon-free, nuclear-free, actually by 2030 now. There's a man called Tim Musso who's studying the mutations of the barn swallows around Chernobyl and Fukushima, and these white feathers are mutations. Here's a tumour, here's a deranged beak, here are crooked wings. 40% of the males are sterile, and they're developing also cataracts, which humans developed too, and there's a huge number of cataracts around Chernobyl from the radiation effect upon the eyes. These are the number of nuclear reactors, sorry about that, nuclear reactors in Europe. I mean, it's just covered. And you can't have a war in a country with nuclear reactors, because then you get a nuclear war, because the reactors, most would melt down. This is a tomato not very well displayed from Fukushima with mutations. And these are all the radioactive elements in a reactor. I won't go through them all, but they just talk about tritium and cesium and strontium, but look at them all. There are over 100 of them. On and on. And they never, ever talk about all of this. And this is what... So if you have a meltdown at Indian Point, A, you'll never escape through all the tunnels and the bridges. B, you'll be trapped here if the wind's blowing over you. There'll be hundreds of thousands of people within 2 weeks with their hair falling out, vomiting, bleeding to death. There'll be acute leukemia developing within 2 to 5 years with people dying, thousands of them, and cancers. And guess what? That's what would close down the nuclear industry. Because Americans don't really care about the fate of the Japanese, nor do they care about the Russians, because when I was interviewed on ABC Radio after Chernobyl, the man said to me, but they're just Russians. I said, well, I'm a physician, a pediatrician, every life is sacred. I just want to move on to the next problem. There are two main problems confronting the fate of the Earth. We've heard one, which is global warming, but the other is nuclear war. We've still got 16,400 hydrogen bombs, 93% of which are owned by Russia and America. In New York, you've got 40 hydrogen bombs targeted on you as I speak. They would take half an hour after launch to land on you. One bomb would produce a firestorm of 3,000 square miles, and you would all die, all within 3,000 square miles of a catastrophic firestorm. There are 60 targeted on Washington. There's such a redundancy of weapons that they've got 60 on Moscow too. So the real terrorists in the world are nothing to do with ISIS or any of that rubbish. They are Russia and America threatening to destroy life on the planet. And it's time the politicians woke up and realised what was going on. So each Russia and America have 1,000 hydrogen bombs in their missiles ready to be launched with a press of the button and a 3-minute decision time by Putin or Obama. Always walking behind Obama is a man with a suitcase called the football, which has the codes to start a nuclear war. You'd think he'd understand that and say, for God's sake, I've got two little girls. I'm going to abolish nuclear weapons. He's got the pulpit, and he could do that, but he hasn't done it. God help us all. And the other thing is that recently they've fired over 70 missile officers. There are two men in each missile silo, aged 18 to 21, each with a pistol to shoot the other if one shows signs of deviant behaviour. The deviant one could shoot the normal one. The locks to turn, they operate on floppy disks. The telephones don't work all the time. 70 have been fired because they've been cheating on their tests, or they've been going to sleep on the job or taking drugs. If the weapons were used between Russia and America, as all the cities burn and the toxic, black, oily, radioactive smoke rises to the stratosphere, it will cover the Earth with a cloud so thick it blocks out the sun for up to 10 years, inducing a short ice age, nuclear winter, and most organisms, including ourselves, of course, would freeze to death in the dark, nuclear winter. If there's a small one between Pakistan and India, that would create nuclear autumn, all crops would fail, and billions would die. But we're talking about the end of human life. And that could happen tonight, because what's happening in the Ukraine is extraordinarily provocative. The State Department and the neocons have orchestrated the coup in the Ukraine. Yeltsin doesn't like it. Well, imagine if, you know, Russia moved into Canada and had a coup. Would you like it? America nearly blew up the world when Russia moved a few nuclear missiles in Cuba. How incredibly provocative of what they've done. And you can read about the coup on my webpage, nuclearfreeplanet.org. And I think Putin is being extraordinarily restrained in this situation, but what worries me is that with high anxiety on both sides, with human errors, with computer errors, and we've heard about that today, we could have an... I said to my family when I left, I'll see you when I get home if we don't have a nuclear war, and I'm serious. Putin has put his missiles on a higher state of alert. If he has, Stratcom has, your country, for sure. Russia and America are both conducting very provocative nuclear war games near each other's borders. Are you reading about this in the New York Times? Oh, no. It's Putin who's at fault. Well, you know, he's not a good man. He killed 250,000 people in Chechnya. But I'm talking about this, the future of life on the planet. And the New York Times has a goal not to report about this in an adequate way. Last but not least is artificial intelligence. Stephen Hawking and others are now writing articles that computers within 5 or 10 years will be so intelligent they can reproduce themselves, they will take over most activities that humans do, so millions will be out of jobs like robots and driverless cars and the like. You can't program compassion or morality into a computer. And what they're really worried about is within 10 years, and they're writing about this, is that computers actually could take leave of, not senses, but decide what they're going to do themselves, like a Frankenstein monster, and launch a nuclear war. And we've just heard that America is going to spend $1 trillion in the next 30 years to replace every single nuclear warhead, submarine, missile, ship, plane. How dare they? And you know why? Obama promised Senator Kyle that to pass the START Treaty, which is nothing, that would happen. And so that's going in. This is obscene. So to finish, I'm holding a conference in New York on the 28th of February and March the 1st, the weekend, at the New York Academy of Medicine called The Dynamics of Possible Nuclear Extinction, covering all of these issues and more. So don't forget, it's not just global warming. Please. Thank you.